When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to another Kind of Funny screencast breakdown. This time we're doing weekly breakdowns of Loki season 2. Want to give, of course, a major shout out to the boys, Cameron Kennedy and Carter Harrell, for once again killing it with the intro. Best. You gotta love it. You really, really do. Of course, I'm Tim Geddes, and I am joined by my very good friend, Matt Rohrbeck from the Untitled Movie Podcast.
Yo, Tim, it feels like we've time slipped into the work from home era again.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought I'd be a floating head in that beautiful studio, but that's okay. Maybe next time.
Maybe next time. We'll make that happen for sure. We're having some tech issues at the studio, so today we have to be working from home, unfortunately. But at the same time, Barrett made this shit look hot as hell.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm absolutely not even really going to complain.
I mean, also, again, shout out to Roger for working on the set assets for Loki, because this will be a nice preview of what the full set will look like once we get back in there, because I just took like a thing that he made and just made it a background. Simple and easy, but it's going to be a hot set. I'm really excited for that.
Yeah, it's going to be good. We're going to be doing weekly breakdowns of this show, all 6 episodes. And my goal is, just like we did with Secret Invasion, kind of have a rotating cast of people kind of come in episode by episode. Maybe some people from Kind of Funny, maybe some people outside of Kind of Funny, but we're just having fun with it. And then, of course, do not fret, everybody. The entire MCU and Review crew of me, Nick, Andy, and Greg will reunite for MCU in Review, ranking, reviewing, and recapping the entire season against the rest of the Marvel Studios project. So you can look forward to that in a few short weeks. And speaking of in Review, we're doing Saw in Review right now. We just put out episode 6, which is wild. And even wilder is our entire crew is still absolutely in on this wild journey.
Hell,
Matt,
yeah.
I know that you're a huge Saw fan. Are you?
Yeah.
As shocked as I am that like Joey and Nick are just, and even Andy are like as down to clown as they are.
I absolutely am. I've been following along and I've been loving it. It's great. I've been rewatching them as well. I kind of jumped ahead. I did watch Saw 10. I'll leave that for when you guys see Saw 10. But I'm surprised at how much I'm loving rewatching them as well, because I was like you, where I remembered some of them being kind of shitty, some of them kind of being like, whatever. But rewatching them like week by week like this, I'm loving it. I'm loving that everyone's loving it. It's I love that franchise. It's so stupid, but in the best way. It's the best.
It truly, truly is. You can check all that stuff out. The same places you could find this show, youtube.com/kindoffunny and roosterteeth.com as videos. But if you want the audio forms, you're going to have to look in different places for those. You go to your favorite podcast service, you type Kind of Funny screencast, you'll get this show. You type Kind of Funny in Review, you'll get that show. I recommend you do both of those things. And while you're doing that, search for the Untitled Movie Podcast, and then you get Matt's show. So there you go. You subscribe, you like, you give the 5 stars, everybody is happier. But if you want to make me even happier, patreon.com/kindoffunny is where you want to go. For just a few measly dollars, you can get the shows live as we record them. You can get them ad-free. You get a whole bunch of bonus content, and you get to be a Patreon producer like James Hastings, Jedi Master Deadpool, Casey Andrew, and Nathan Lamothe. Thank you all so very, very much. Today, we're brought to you by Shady Rays, Rocket Money, and DoorDash, but I'll tell you about that later. We got to talk about it. The first season 2 of a Marvel Studios project, the follow-up to, debatably, the best Marvel Studios TV show so far. I think that it is. I think it's between WandaVision and this. I think that some of the highs of WandaVision were higher. But overall, Loki is my favorite of the shows. Very excited to get into this one. Little preamble here. I've only seen episode 1. We're going to get full into spoilers and everything on episode 1. But Matt has seen the first 4 episodes. So real quick, I want to start with you. I want your thoughts overall of what you've seen of Loki, spoiler-free completely from 2 through 4, but just overall, how are you feeling about Loki season 2?
To steal a certain catchphrase from a fast food restaurant, I'm loving it, Tim. I'm absolutely
it's the wrong
loving
fast
it.
Food restaurant. We're getting the McDonald's references in this one.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I said,
oh my God, I fucked up. I'm an idiot.
Tim, what the hell, bro?
What fast food place do you think was I'm loving it?
Would you guys fucking believe that right now I have Twitter pulled up and Danny O'Dwyer just tweeted about the Burger King, a documentary about the making of the Burger King games. And I was looking at that and I just had the stupidest mind connection.
I'm disappointed, man.
You should be. Everyone should be disappointed. I let you down. I'll let everybody down. I am so sorry. I'm so sorry.
No.
Continue.
It's good. No, I think this is funny because I think it's been a while since I've been on Kind of Funny. I think the last time I was on was for the Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness spoiler-free review. And then before that was Everything Everywhere All at Once. Yes. So I think it's funny that you only bring me back for Marvel multiverse movies or multiverse movies featuring Ki-Hui Kwan or both mm-hmm. of those together. So I think that's
funny. Oh, yeah.
But I absolutely love these four episodes. I won't touch on anything I've seen in episodes two through four, just because I want everyone watching this, they're going in thinking that we're going to just talk spoilers on episode one. But I am absolutely loving it. All four episodes, I think, were pedal to the ground, nonstop, just exhilarating and thrilling. I think it has some of my favorite time travel elements in TV. I saw that some other people were talking about this too, but it reminded me of Lost, all the good parts of Lost Ooh. And the time travel stuff of Lost that I really love. And Lost is one of my favorite TV shows of all time. I think it ends at a point in those four episodes where I could not wait for the last two, which I think is a really, really good sign. And, you know, I'm very privileged to be able to see those four episodes early. But when that fourth episode ended and I realized I had to wait until November for the next new episode, it was excruciating. So I'll leave it at that I'm just very That's thrilled. Awesome. I agree with you that I think Loki is the best Marvel Studios TV show. And I think it was up there with WandaVision. I'm right there with you, Tim. But after these four episodes, I think it kind of cements it as clearly
Whoa.
The best Marvel Studios show. And I love WandaVision's, you know, episodic nature, the style and everything like that. But I just absolutely loved these four episodes and I loved everything about them. But more about episode one I'll get into right now, but that's my overall thoughts on all four episodes. I very pleased, especially after things like Secret Invasion and Quantumania and, you know, a mixed bag phase four and beginning to phase five. But I'm thrilled that I love this because I want to love MCU stuff and I haven't really had that like strong passion for it for a while. It's been on and off certain things. I've loved certain things I've been disappointed with, but I'm so glad I like these four episodes. As for episode one, I think I love that it answers questions right away while setting up like brand
new
mysteries.
So now full spoilers, everybody. Yeah. Just to be
full
clear.
Spoilers. Episode I'll also one, give full overall spoilers. Thoughts. And then once yeah. you get into yours, we can dive deeper into stuff. But I love that it answers questions of like, you know, where was Loki at the end of season one, and immediately, okay, he's in the past instead of an alternate timeline or something like that. I love that. It sets up new mysteries of like, why is Sylvie there at the end? Who's ringing on the phone? Who purged him from the timeline at the end? Things like that. Like, I think it sets up really amazing stakes for the multiverse saga while still feeling really singular to this Loki story. Like, I think this show is doing the best job of making me invested in the multiverse saga while it's not shoving like shared universe stuff down our throats. It's just really setting up the stakes of what could happen, what could be coming, making Kang feel like a real threat, even though he's not like a huge presence in the show, like physically yet, but his presence is felt throughout all of it. And it's made me more scared of him now than I was in Quantumania or, you know, since the end of Loki season one. And I think they set him up really well as like a Thanos level threat in this, and talking about the stakes of like, for the greater good, should you commit this mass almost like genocide to be like, well, it's going to be even worse if we don't purge those timelines. And I think that's similar to Thanos, you know, killing half the universe thing, but setting up in a clear way that I never really got deep into. I think the cinematography and the look of the show, they double down on like that film grain kind of like textured look. And I'm so thrilled because, again, after some of the more digital CG looking Marvel stuff, like I think that's such a clever way of kind of hiding some of that and making it all feel cohesive. And then you lead to the production design, and they have actual real sets that they have fantastic camera work through, that you actually feel like they're somewhere instead of just standing in front of green screen. The music, sound design is great. I could go on and on, man. Like, I think Hiddleston and Wilson together are just such a great team. It's genuinely funny. The new additions to the cast are amazing. Rafael Casal from Blind Spotting is fantastic. Ki Hui Kwan is amazing. I was just so thrilled with all of this. And I'm surprised that we really didn't even get Renslayer or Victor Timely or Miss Minutes or even really Sylvie in this first episode, but it still felt like this epic kind of grand scale that I haven't really felt like on these Marvel shows in a while, where like this whole episode, just because it was pedal to the metal, like exhilarating from the moment it starts and it picks up right at the end of season one. I was just surprised at the epicness, especially of this whole episode. So I love this first episode. I loved all four. Sorry, I'm going on long, but go ahead.
No,
I haven't talked to you at all. So I'm curious at your thoughts.
Dude, I'm right there with you, man. You used the word thrilled. And I feel like that's kind of where I'm at. I am thrilled to be this into MCU show. I, similar to you, I think lean towards the wanting to like the MCU stuff and even the bad stuff like Secret Invasion, trying to find the things that I like about it. And there was a lot of, I'd say, quality ideas in that show.
Yeah.
But then I feel like its connections to the MCU at large were what really made us look at it and be like, I don't know about this. And like some of the choices just felt like outright bad. Whereas with Loki, specifically this being the season two, I love that it clearly feels like there is the overall threat to the universe, but it is very much a follow-up to the storyline that we had in season one. And this being the first season two, it being the follow-up to the show that we liked the most, I feel like it gives them a lot of room to just get wild with it and play within their own rules and break their own rules. So the time travel stuff, which we've seen in the MCU before a couple times now in different ways, the multiverse stuff is just getting more and more out there and more like hard to understand and decipher. I feel like them introducing the TVA and it's like time works different here. They like that's something we know from season one. For episode one of season two to immediately kind of play with that and break it and be like, but what if it didn't? You know, I love that they're like really like tripling down on what, like you're saying, answering the questions of, oh, he was in the past. Then immediately I start thinking through, what does that mean? Like, what's the ramifications for that to Loki and the cast of characters here, but also to the whole MCU and to the multiverse saga, Secret Wars, all of that down the line, Kang Dynasty. But my favorite thing, and you're saying this as well, is how well they built the fear of Kang without him actually being in this episode or anything. But Tom Hiddleston, if he hasn't already, he now officially will go down as an all-timer in casting superheroes, where
absolutely,
I think that he has hit that point that he is in that Robert Downey Jr. Iron Man, Hugh Jackman Wolverine. Like Tom Hiddleston's Loki, like that hair flip, we like,
he's one of the OGs, man. We forget he's been around since this like third MCU movie.
It's pretty wild. And he's been in so many projects. And last night when I was watching on Disney Plus, it does the whole like keep watching more Loki stuff. And it showed a thumbnail of Thor 1 and it's like little baby Hiddleston. And it's just funny to see like, damn, man, like he's been in this thing for so long and in different versions, different variants of Loki. And this being the original one, actually, that we're like following through is so fun. And I think they've done such a good job, even in just this first episode, of setting up multiple mysteries that I actually feel like they're going to answer. You know, like it's not the type of like, oh, that's really interesting, what's going to happen, and then nothing happens, or the thing that happens is very stupid. I feel like they've already seeded us with enough to be like, okay, who's calling on the phone? Who's the one that pruned him? What is like going on here? But they also set up the concept that the time travel in the TVA now works in the way that as you're actively talking to someone, going back in time and talking to them can change their future, which is not how things used to work outside the TVA in the Marvel universe, right?
That's interesting, because I see what you're saying and I almost didn't perceive it in that way. And I see it as it always happened and he wasn't remembering it until, you know, what I thought of is like Obi's been down there for 400 years. I go, I can't remember what happened to me like last week. If I saw a movie last week, it's hard for me to like remember details of it 3 days later. So I thought of it as like something, you know, this guy shows up for 2 seconds, does all this stuff. He built this thing and then he disappears right away. And then Obi goes up along his life and goes, that was really strange. And but I know it's a big enough conversation that that is something that probably would have stuck with him. But I took it more that he just didn't remember it until then. And because it's our Loki's, this is where time travel stuff gets very
always.
And I know they poke fun at it, but I like how they handle it with the rest of the characters of their memories were wiped. So that stuff all really did happen. It's just Kang wiped their memories multiple times. So Owen Wilson doesn't remember, or Eugene is the other guy's character. Or is that his actor's name? I forget. But you know, at the beginning where he smashes the thing at the center,
and
it leaves the crack and stuff like that. I like the stuff that like that stuff always happened and certain characters just didn't remember it because their memories got wiped. But the Obi one, I just had a different read on it, but that's interesting that you thought it actually changed their future in that moment.
Yeah, and I could totally be wrong. I just watched the episode once, and the way that they edited it, I was so into that I feel like I might have lost some of the finer details, because I loved the cutting between the two different timelines throughout the episode, but specifically that whole scene. And just the way that some of the dialogue was backing up what I'm talking about, where just like talking about like the TVA, the whole hypothetically, what if the TVA did have time? So that's why I'm like, okay, maybe there is something going on there. But there's also something about Obi that his character is so interesting. There's two simultaneous things. Obi being an interesting character of like, what's really going on with him? And then there's the, that character that's the breastfeeding aunt from Game of Thrones.
She's one of the commanders or whatever, right? Like
her vibe, her and Rafael Casals,
back a little and head forth, touch.
Something about that. I just like it. It's a mystery without an explicit like what's in the box type thing going on. And I just feel like this episode had so many elements that are just, like getting me thinking, where it's fun to have a show that I feel like has multiple things we can theorize on, that the answer doesn't have to be, and then Doctor Strange shows up.
Yeah.
You know, it can be like type of theories of like, oh no, it's just potentially interesting storytelling among these characters that don't need to be outside of this show. They could be in the show, because I love Owen Wilson's Mobius so damn much.
Yeah. You just want him to get that jet ski so bad.
One day he will.
He will. I totally agree with you. And I think that's what I meant by like, this show doing such a good job at feeling like it's an integral part of the multiverse saga and this shared universe storytelling. But really, the strongest parts of the show are about the characters in the show and this version of Loki and the people that you're talking about and the mysteries for this show. And if that happens to have bigger consequences for the MCU, that's great, but it doesn't have like what you're saying of going, oh, is this person going to show up next week? Is Thor going to be in the show or anything like that? Like that shit almost doesn't matter because they're doing such a good job at making you care about Mobius and other people. Go ahead.
Having said that, let's go fucking off the rails here. Yeah. I did see a theory on Twitter today that the post-credit scene of this episode, the location of that McDonald's in the 80s.
I did see that too, yeah.
Is in the comics the location of New Asgard, where Thor builds it, and there's rumors of a Loki-Thor reunion here of some sort. I do not think we're getting that, and I also don't think we need it, but I do like that. Hey, there are breadcrumbs there that could add up to something cool. And worst case, it gets us a sweet ass 1980s McDonald's that hit me so hard to see.
Dude, same, man. Like just seeing that and remember the solarium kind of like play places and stuff like that.
Tree.
And anyone who talks shit about product placement, I'm like, who cares? Like we have McDonald's in real life. Who cares if a scene takes place at a McDonald's? I love it. I'm with you with the Chris Hemsworth thing of showing up as Thor or that being New Asgard. I guess because I was thinking, I'm like, wait, New Asgard he already set up, but I'm like, wait, that's a split timeline. I like that too, and where they show you the year and then they go, like split timeline kind of thing, yep, showing you that you're on a different timeline. Yeah, I think, I mean, he did do that voice cameo that they cut for Throg. Yeah, Throg in the first season, right? So like, never say never, but I don't think we'll get that. I just think it's maybe too distracting, but I know they want to build up to probably a reunion between the two characters. So like that, but I see that happening in a movie, maybe not.
I totally agree. Yeah. It's just fun little things.
No, I'm with you.
But going back to kind of the fear of it all, that my favorite line from this episode was Loki just being like, I was at the end of time and I met a man.
Oh God.
And I think awesome. He's right.
Yeah, I wrote the line down. It's like, we got to the man at the end of time and he made sense.
Yes,
like, that's
dude.
Fucking awesome.
Oh man. It's just so cool because it just puts everything into context of how scared this Loki is. And also I love this episode just starting with him running away from them like moments after this. Like, to think of the headspace that this character is in after what he just saw, mm-hmm, is so wild. And I think that they know, and I love that they literally hit the ground running with it, and to have him explain it to the other characters and for the other characters to get it right for the most part. Like, even the TVA that are kind of like the more like that boardroom of people, the war room,
that war room was cool. Yeah,
very cool. I liked it. Even they were like, we gotta kind of listen to this, and like, let's send everyone after Sylvie, I guess. Like, there's just every plot in this I am intrigued by.
I absolutely agree. And like, I think they're doing, even the reveal that Renslayer and Kang were kind of together, which was a big theory that everyone knew, right? Like, and we get like those little tidbits of when Loki's, you know, time splitting, which also the look of the time splitting is really cool. Also reminds me of Into the Spider-Verse and stuff like that too. So I'm like, there might be, I think they're all building up to something. I don't know. But it, cause that design of that is very, very similar. But yeah, the reveal of Renslayer there. Yeah, just seeing that threat and that everyone's on edge and their whole world has been shattered too, because you have the head of the timekeeper robot on the table and things like that. Like, they're doing such a good job at making everyone feel scared of what, yep, could happen, and even explaining some of the, you know, the multiverse rules and how it all works, like to explain the temporal loom thing and that kind of hourglass device. I think they did the best job here of going, oh yeah, there's multiple time streams and this device puts them all into one sacred timeline. And even seeing that sequence and how Loki had to be split from time and like ripped back with that kind of harpoon thing. I think it's just like really cool elements of the multiverse that they're doing a really good job for, even like casual viewers of sort of, I mean, there's a lot going on, like you mentioned, with all this multiverse stuff, but I think they're doing a good job of like grounding it in this world and kind of explaining how it all works. But yeah, it's awesome.
I totally agree. I want to keep talking about that, but after a quick word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by DoorDash. Did you burn your last piece of toast? Have the avocados gone bad? Is the hot sauce bottle empty? You can try grocery delivery from DoorDash. You'll get everything you want delivered when you need it, right to your door. You've trusted DoorDash to deliver your restaurant favorites, and now you can get grocery delivery that actually delivers too. You already know how much all of us here at Kinda Funny love DoorDash, but with thousands of grocery stores to choose from, you'll find the best in your neighborhood and boost your local economy with each and every order. You'll get exactly what you ordered, or they'll make it right. You want even more value? You can save on all of your grocery and restaurant favorites with a $0 delivery fee on all eligible orders with a DashPash membership. With easy substitutes right in the app and best-in-class customer support, you can get 50% off your first DoorDash order up to a $20 value when you use code KINDA at checkout. That's 50% off up to $20, no minimum subtotal, and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code KINDA. Don't forget, that's code KINDA for 50% off your first order with DoorDash. This episode's brought to you by Shady Rays. Take on the sun with gear built to last. Our friends at Shady Rays have you covered for the warm weather ahead with premium polarized shades at an affordable price. Shady Rays is an independent sunglasses company that offers a world-class product that's just as good as any expensive pair we've worn. Durable frames and extremely clear optics for outdoor adventures. And that's not all. Shady Rays offers the most insane protection in all of eyewear. Every pair of sunglasses is backed by lost and broken replacements. If you lose or break your pair, even on day one, they told us they
they will send you a brand new pair, no questions asked. Wear your Shady Rays with confidence because they have your back long after you purchase. Every purchase supports the Shady Rays Impact Program, which works directly with nonprofits and their communities to empower and make adventure accessible for all walks of life. Exclusively for our listeners, Shady Rays is giving out their best deal of the season. You can go to shadyrays.com and use code kindoffunny for 50% off 2+ pairs of polarized sunglasses. You can try for yourself the shades rated 5 stars by over 250,000 people. Again, that's shadyrays.com. Use the code kindoffunny. This episode is brought to you by Rocket Money. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions. It monitors your spending and it helps you lower your bills all in one place. And it has surprised multiple of my friends and people at Kind of Funny how many subscriptions they have that they forgot they are still paying for. That's why I'm such a big fan of Rocket Money. It's so easy to cancel the ones you don't want with just the press of a button. No more long hold times or annoying emails with customer service. Rocket Money does all the work for you. Rocket Money can even negotiate to lower your bills for you by up to 20%. All you have to do is take a picture of your bills and Rocket Money will take care of the rest. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills all in one place. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions and manage your money the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/kindoffunny. That's rocketmoney.com/kindoffunny. One more time, rocketmoney.com/kindoffunny.
You know, it's funny you say that because I think that Loki was really our first foray into this multiverse of stuff in the MCU, right? Like, then we started getting Multiverse of Madness and No Way Home and a bunch of other things. But this was kind of like our introduction to the sacred timeline as a concept. I mean, I guess Avengers Endgame kind of like showed us like the splits and stuff. But this is the first time that we really got that visualization of like the lines and like what it means and pruning them and all of that. And so I feel like every other project we've kind of tried to apply the Loki logic to.
Mm-hmm.
And when it doesn't add up, it frustrates us because it's like, no, but we know what the answer is. Like, why doesn't this work? Whatever. And I feel like now with where we're at, seeing this episode and seeing that the line and there's just branches covering the screen, I think that is, first off, super cool. Second off, to your point, a great way to explain to the audience what's going on and to make something that's extremely complicated that literally no one understands into something that everyone can be like, I get what's happening here. And I'm just so blown away by how high quality the production design of the show is. Like, that was the strength of season one. And I feel like because it was so strong, season two is able to have even more fun with how out there and wacky the time travel jargon gets, because the production design kind of like helps back up the story of it all. And then you have an actor how do you say his name? It's
Kei-Hui Kwan, I think.
Kei-Hui Kwan, who just adds so much personality and makes everything seem, even things that don't make sense, he makes them seem like they make sense when he says them, you know?
Yeah, no, he's perfect. I mean, it is, you can see why and Everything Everywhere All at Once brought him on. It's almost too similar, but like, he's such a lovable person that like he just exudes like positivity, and like he's just so perfect in that role and really feels like he'll be like an important part of this season, right? Like, and even to your point of the production design and like the look of the show and doubling down on that, like I mentioned earlier, like it really does look like the best looking Marvel thing. And it's everything from the lighting to, you know, the sets that I mentioned. And even what you were mentioning too, the look of that time stream and going out and seeing that visual representation of the time stream and the split things, like the show just has such a good like visual language, even with the like soft warm lighting on the upper levels of the TVA, and then you go down into the basement, it's all that kind of crappy kind of harsh lighting where he is. Yeah, fluorescent lights and stuff like that. Like, it does have such a good visual language, and like it's something I miss, because like early MCU stuff, like even the early Iron Man movie, shot on film by like a really good cinematographer, Matthew Lee Batik, and like, you know, the first little bit of Marvel movies I felt like had a really good look to them. And then it's not that Marvel movies look bad, but as we got kind of into the digital era and using the volume or using a ton of green screen, like it's just something, you know, I've heard you talk about it, Tim. It's just something you got used to and you had to be like, well, it is what it is. This is what these things are going to look like. It's fine. I'm here for the, you know, the story and the characters and things like that. Sometimes visuals look great, but I'm so glad that this looks as good as it does. And I think having that film grain and having that great production design and lighting just like really helps kind of separate it and feel like a premium like product that I feel like we haven't had in a little while. Like
it's nice to have it for sure.
Yeah. So anyways, yeah, it looks great.
Yeah, it really does. And it sounds great too. You brought up the sound design and music earlier. Natalie Holt continues to just absolutely destroy the score of this. Like Loki's score, I think, is up there, like debatably top five, if not higher, in the MCU, where I just feel like it just doesn't miss. There's so many different styles, so many different themes that all hit and are all so variable in being able to have like highs, lows, change the emotion based on the vibe of what's happening with the same melody. And it just hits. And you've used the word epic a couple times to describe this episode. And I feel like so much of that is backed up by the score adding to it all and adding to the experience of it all and making it feel grand, making these characters feel like they matter even more. But I love that we're even just starting here with how good the score is, because like if it's going to be anything like season one, it only goes up. Like there's only cooler and cooler moments to come.
Yeah, it'll absolutely pop off. Like the one thing I loved is even where Loki prunes the mural that reveals all the like the Council of Kangs, or maybe it's just one Kang and from different things, and it sounds like the THX logo. Like I don't know if you remember that. It's that exact sound. I'm like, that has to be intentional. It's even little things like that I'm like, it does, like that low THX logo is so epic. I remember anytime seeing it before a movie, and then even utilizing it, something like there where it's revealed, I'm like, it just adds to the epicness of the entire thing. I also wanted to touch on like how funny the show is at times too, even feeling like very serious and very, you know, like epic and important and the fear of Kang and all this kind of stuff. But like Owen Wilson brings such like their pairing of this like odd couple kind of thing is so great. And even those few lines in the elevator about him time slipping, or Owen Wilson writing skin ? And dust on the thing was so fucking funny.
It's so funny. And I love it because it feels like the good effortless type of comedy. Like I know it's really easy nowadays to like make fun of like MCU comedy for
sure, sitcom-y and stuff like that.
For what it is, right? But I love this where like that elevator scene where even just the reveal that someone else was in the elevator with them. But I like that the dialogue and the jokes don't get in the way of how serious it is. It kind of just like makes it feel more organic between the relationship between Mobius and Loki. But the lines of I don't need a he who remains, I need a Loki who remains. It's just awesome. And then immediately following that up with like, I have no memory of having my memory wiped.
Yeah,
like
great line.
It's just these dumb little things that like just move so quickly that like adds levity to a show that simultaneously, I feel like that levity from Mobius allows Loki's lines about like he who remains to be even scarier. Like it really kind of feels like in the same conversation, these characters are hearing each other, but they're like handling it in a very different way. I don't know. I'm really into that.
No, I absolutely agree. The other thing, talking about the other three episodes without spoiling anything that I just wanted to touch on that I didn't touch on before. The one thing about, you know, He Who Remains and Kang that I still don't know if they're doing a great job of is like, I really did not love the post-credit sequences in Quantumania, like the Council of Kangs and even Victor Timely. And I feel like while they've done a really good job at setting up the threat of Kang, I just still am not convinced that this character is menacing enough or will be this big bad. Like every time I see this character you know, at the end, I felt like that scene was very parody Austin Powers, like one actor playing multiple roles. Like I couldn't take it seriously. And I'd say in these episodes, it still didn't do a great job convincing me that I'm going to love Kang the Conqueror as a character. I like almost the idea of him more, but still two episodes to go and still a lot of the multiverse saga to go. So I wanted to point that out, as well as Sylvie. In this episode, we barely see her. I like the stinger at the end. I like the reveal in the elevator that she's at the TVA, what she's doing there kind of thing. Like when we know she's at this McDonald's and stuff like that. I do think in the four episodes I've seen, they haven't done a great job with her.
Damn, I love her. That sucks.
I know, I love her too, man. And that's why I was disappointed, where I think they're using her more as like a plot device rather than like building on her character in these four episodes. And again, still two episodes to go. They could be saving her best stuff for the last two episodes. So I'm still kind of holding out hope there. And but those are the kind of two little things in those four episodes, because I didn't touch on any kind of like negatives that I thought in the four episodes. But overall, like, that stuff didn't bother me. Like, how, you know, we know Victor Timely is going to be in the series, and like, and Sylvie, you know, it was still serviceable enough where all the other stuff outweighed my little kind of nitpicks I had about those two elements. But I just wanted to kind of point those out as other two things that I wasn't super thrilled, just to be kind of even on both sides. But again, I'm still cannot wait for those last two episodes.
Yeah. Earlier you brought up the skin tag that they that he did. Yeah. And I loved it, because I didn't expect them to go to the future in the
TV. And that was such a clever way of doing that.
Yeah. And it's, you know, the throwaway thing he's kind of doing in the background, and the moment it happens, I like kind of popped off. I was like, oh shit, they're doing it. And Loki immediately calls it out. He's like, oh shit, we're in the future. It's like they're gonna have some fun with this show. And I feel like this was a great premiere for a season two, because I think if anything, they just said, we're about to have fun. You're going to want to strap in. This is going to be appointment viewing for the next couple of weeks. So really excited about all of that.
Yeah, man. I'm absolutely there with you. It's the best.
So Sylvie, all right, she's here. She's trying to save Loki. What the hell's going on, man? Like, what's going on? Who's calling? Who's pruning? Is it Loki in the future that's going to prune himself? Like, how much fun are they going to have with this? How much sense is it going to make or not make? I don't know. And I know you can't say anything. I love that where I'm at right now, I don't really have too many like explicit theories. I do think that I imagine it's going to be Loki helping himself. Like, I don't think it's somebody else helping, and potentially Sylvie as well. Why is she back at the TVA? I don't know. But I love where we're at now, because I feel like there's enough questions for them to answer in ways that could be satisfying for multiple characters.
Yeah, I think those are all interesting questions. I think going back to my Lost comparison, and I said the best things about Lost, I think this show reminds me of Lost a lot with its time travel, and you know, the Dharma Initiative in Lost reminds me a lot of the TVA. The one thing I think, you know, I think it does take inspiration from that show, but that show got a lot of shit for not answering things and leaving things too long and extending things and having an episode about Jack's tattoo that was just pointless and stuff like that. I think this show has learned from shows like that, that, you know, you want to answer these things quickly and then set up new things to keep people engaged. So
I want to say that. And then the other thing, this isn't a theory, this was just these motherfuckers knew exactly what they were doing, and I don't know why they did it. There's the shot, the long shot going into the temporal loom room, going towards the door. And as it gets closer and closer, the camera to the door, it zooms in on like a circle with an X on it, and then it opens up, and I literally popped off, and I was like, what the fuck are they doing here? Because it looks exactly
like Xavier's, like, yeah.
Exactly like those doors. And then it just opens and it wasn't. And I'm like, that was very, very weird, because for a show with as amazing production design and well, like, it, like, intentioned production design, that felt weird.
That's interesting. I never thought of that until you just brought it up, but as you were describing it, I'm like, oh, no, I totally understand where you were go. But I never thought that while I was watching it, but that is very interesting. And I wonder if they don't even realize that, because I don't think they would include it if they thought they were hinting towards that or something like that. Because it doesn't
make clear. Don't think they're hinting towards X-Men.
No. Yeah.
But like, it's a little weird how I had to rewind it to be like, that's the fucking X-Men door, just a different color. But anyways, trying to see, do you have any other thoughts you want to say before we close this out?
No, I mean, there's some really great moments coming up. There's some really disturbing moments coming up too, that I was like really surprised by. For a show that is this fun and engaging and stuff like that, like on our show, we talked about it. Like, it does, the show does a really good job at setting things up and paying things off. And that's not just the mysteries either. It's like, pay attention to little things that they set up, devices, different things like that, because the show pays them off in really sometimes disturbing ways, sometimes fun ways. Like, yeah, it's, I was surprised at how much I enjoyed this. Like, I sound very, very positive, and I am very, very positive because I do really love the MCU. I love talking about stuff. I love theorizing. I love, you know, every single thing in the Infinity Saga. And I want this to be as engaging as that Infinity Saga was. And I know we've had kind of our, you know, everyone's been a little hesitant, even like your team, Tim, like a lot of people have been waiting to watch these shows. Right. And that's not at the point where I want to be. I want this to be appointment television where people are talking about this on X or Twitter or wherever the hell people are nowadays, and like having that HBO Sunday night kind of vibe to it. And I feel like that's been missing, and I hope this show brings that, because I do think it has those mysteries. It does have that conversation starters. I'm not seeing a lot of that with the Disney Plus stuff, even though they've moved up the times, but thank goodness they have, especially me on the East Coast. Like,
yeah,
being 9 p.m. instead of 3 in the morning is wonderful. But I'm so glad. Like, it doesn't feel like we've been away from the MCU for a long time, but even starting this, like, and one thing I wanted to bring up, I know you're a big fan of the Marvel Studios logos. There's some really fun ones coming up in the next four episodes. Oh, awesome.
I did and love even, that they let it play out, because Secret Invasion did the super fast version.
And I did not like that. I guess it suited that show. I always love when they mess around with that stuff too, but in one of the episodes, and this isn't spoiler, they just use the classic Marvel Studios intro, and it was weird how that like made me feel nostalgic for a second, and I'm like, it hasn't been that long, but I'm like, the normal theme and stuff like that, but like, yeah. It feels weird going, oh, we're back, but I'm like, it's not like we've ever gone away, but I'm thrilled to be like this excited about talking about the MCU again.
I love that, as am I. We're going to do it each and every week right here on youtube.com/kindoffunny. Matt, thank you for joining me. Where can people find you?
You can follow me on all those socials at Matt Rohrbeck, and you can follow the Untitled Movie Podcast and Untitled Movie Reviews on all podcast services, as well on YouTube. A good one-stop shop is just go over to Letterboxd and search for Untitled_movies. You can find all of our stuff over there.
Hell yes, man. Thank you for joining me. Until next time, have a marvelous day.